You're listening to the Boogeyman's Closet podcast. Explicit language and spoilers ahead. You've been warned.
All tonight, you're getting an extra special treat from the Boogeyman.
Woohoo! We just finished watching Stage Fright at Thursday Night Terror, so we're driving back and we figured we'd chat about this for a little bit, so a little extra Patreon. So what did you guys think? I know, Maurice, this was your first time watching it. What are your thoughts on this?
I popped my Stage Fright cherry.
Wait, now, it was an Italian horror movie. Does that mean you got poked in the eye?
True. Yes, I am
poked. Little eye trauma.
I don't think there was any in this one.
Yeah, no. Dude,
yes,
got
there
stabbed
was.
In the eye with a nail.
Oh, that's right.
Yep.
I almost forgot about that. So there was eye trauma. Yes, I enjoyed it a lot. I thought it was hilarious. I don't think it's meant to be hilarious, but I enjoyed it, and I would definitely watch this again.
Oh, yeah.
It's on Shudder.
Right.
Now, what about you, Susie? I know you've seen it before, but what were your thoughts seeing it with a crowd?
Oh, my God. It's so much better seeing it in a theater with a crowd because, and I've said this on our regular episodes, I laugh at really inappropriate things.
Well, we were both cracking up.
We were. Points. I mean, it was great. People clapping, the cat, Lucifer. He was the killer pet in the pussy.
Lucifer was definitely the best actor.
Yeah. In oh, I couldn't stand that bitch that had the bat-like shriek.
Which she one?
The one in the dressing room. Where,
if you got 80 Cyndi Lauper off of Wish?
The one with the fake boobs.
Yeah. Yeah, where she...
Oh, wait, no.
They're legit fake.
She was the pregnant one, I thought, that was going crazy in the dressing room.
The one you're talking about is the one that got chopped in half. The one I'm talking about is the one that got thrown at the chainsaw.
Oh, okay.
But every time she shrieked, she sounded like a bat screeching.
Yes.
I was like, oh, God, it's terrible.
And when she...
Combination of a bat and Roseanne Barr.
And when she got thrown at the chainsaw and then she finds her in the shower, it looks like he cut off like what little bitty titty she had.
Right. Yeah. I was trying to figure out what part of her was she holding on to.
It looked almost like intestinal.
Right, but it was like on her shoulder. That's where she keeps her intestines.
Yeah.
That's how she stays so spelt.
She keeps them close to her, well, not her.
Close to her neck.
Her itty bitty titty.
Oh my God.
Oh, the acting was over the top, as it always is. But yep. Oh my God, it was hilarious. I loved it.
If you guys haven't seen this one that we're talking about, Susie, you said it's on Shudder, right?
Yeah, it's on Shudder.
It's definitely worth the runtime. It's just a silly 80s slasher, but with Italian horror movie sensibilities.
Yes.
And oh man. There's these two characters. It's Danny and Sybil, but every time the director said their name, because the sound was really bad for whatever reason, I thought he was saying Sybil and Danning, and I couldn't stop giggling at that. I was like, so Sybil Danning is in this movie.
And Sybil is the one that I say looks like if you got an 80s Cyndi Lauper off of Wish.
Yeah.
And Dan and Yogurt, or whatever, Dan, he looks like... He looks like if you got an 80s Sting off of Wish.
Yes.
Like, I was waiting, for, especially when it was, like, dark, and he was, like, walking in the darkness. I kept thinking of the video every movie made, expecting him to, like, have an upright bass or something.
Just waiting for him to yell out, Roxanne!
Oh, my God, and I loved the part where the killer is looking in the workshop.
Mm-hmm.
And like, what do I want to pick? I'll take the drill.
Yeah, like there was axes and like random hacksaws and shit. And he's like, no, I'm going to take this drill that's bolted to the table.
Because at first I thought it was one of those like compressor, what are they called?
A drill press?
No. Where it like holds things in place. A vice, yes. First I was like, why is he stopping on the vice? And then I noticed that it was really a drill.
I thought it was a drill press. I'm like, what, how is he going to... And then I remembered the door scene. And I'm like, oh, yeah, no, it's handheld.
Yeah. I haven't seen this movie in a long time. There was a lot that I forgot about, like the drill.
I forgot about him getting it. I remember him using a drill, but yeah, the workshop scene was funny.
Well, there are some things I want to forget. That dance scene is the first.
Oh my god, that dance scene was ridiculous.
Which one? The one where she was... They were doing the simulated rape?
Yeah.
It was all bad. All the dancing in that movie was bad.
You didn't like the all the dudes wearing their modesty patches?
No.
Oh my god. I did like the guy that was originally in the owl costume. I thought he was the funniest part of the movie.
Oh, yeah, because he was the stereotypical 80s gay bitch.
Yep. Mm-hmm. He was sassy. But, he wasn't in it too long.
And really, like, Penelope, or whatever, what was the...
Penelope.
Wrong movie.
You're talking about the wrong movie.
The girl, who the first one that gets killed, that's, like, all prim and proper, like a school marm, and then she's like... Tawny Katane in a Whitesnake video.
Yeah.
I thought the first one that got killed was a library looking.
Yeah.
Looking
Yeah, the school marm. What was her name?
I forget.
We're just going to call...
Betty or something?
Oh, no. Betty was the... She was the... I almost said the chorus girl. She was the costume woman. She was the first one to get killed.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, I got confused.
Oh, you're thinking about the one that... Yeah, okay, yeah, I know who you're talking about. The one who got stabbed in the gut while they were all watching.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm talking about the one that got the X to the mouth.
That was amazing. He's like, I'll shut you up, bitch.
The most fucked up thing is the first thing I thought... Because they showed her close-up a few times, and she had wonky-ass teeth. And then he fucking killed her by shoving a pickaxe in her mouth. It's like, that's appropriate.
And I really liked at the end how they were just... The reporters were trying to get her to say something from the back of the cop car. Right. And everyone's just, here comes some gurneys with, you know, feet sticking out. And then, like, a bag with Peter's head or whatever the director's name was. And it wasn't even, like, a body bag type thing. It looked like a produce bag from Wegmans.
Right. I liked how no one could stay still.
Oh,
so, like, every time they showed the corpses, they're twitching and moving and blinking.
Oh, wait, wasn't there the one part where her eye was just open?
Yeah, because the bat chick, like, the shrieker, she was laying there with her eyes open, and then he picked up, a handful of feathers to wipe blood on her face. And, like, when he went to take the feathers to her face, her eyes were shut tight. And it's like, yeah, that's fake. And then when they leaned back to it again, like, her eyes were open. Like, what the hell?
Make up your mind.
And then dude with the director, he was supposed to be a severed head. And it was just the actor under a table.
With his eyes open.
Trying not to blink.
Oh my god.
Oh my god. This is a fun movie.
Ooh. Detour.
Uh-oh.
We can just take the boulevard.
Yeah.
Guys, you're really getting a special treat.
Yeah, we were going to take the quick way home. But...
Yeah.
Looks like we're being detoured. So, and since this is a Patreon, I'm sure we will end up detouring from stage fright onto other topics. But,
right.
But yeah, overall, this is one of those movies that I definitely wouldn't mind covering on the show, like, in better detail. Because it's funny. It's a lot of fun. And what is going on up here? They working on something.
Oh, groove pavement. Grooved pavement.
Groovers in the heart?
Yep. I haven't seen the remake, though.
Now, I want to say it is officially a remake, but I feel like it's a remake in spirit. You know, because it's... I want to say it was 2014, and it was this, like, kabuki-masked killer at a, like, a musical camp. So it was, like, a summer camp for, like, theater kids.
And the sequel to Bloody Bible Camp.
No, and not anywhere near as bad, but definitely in the same vein. And it's a funny movie. I really did enjoy it. But that one actually has a few talented people in it. Like, it actually has some decent actors. Hmm. Unlike this one, where the best one was the cat. So. But yeah, that's... I don't know. It's got an interesting vibe to it. It definitely does have a demon's vibe. I think that's, maybe it's just, you know, the whole being trapped in a theater. This one's just a stage rather than a movie theater.
Also, like, metal doors with no doorknobs.
Yes. And how many times did she turn that fucking key and the door didn't open?
I don't know.
She just kept turning, like, I swear to God, it went all the way around. Like, it just completely circled the lock.
And the police just sitting in the car, like, we kept cutting to them, like, hey, what are they still doing stuff?
Yeah, like, what was the point of their characters? Like, the one guy's like, I'm eating spinach.
My wife's worried about me, says I'm, then the other guy goes, you're fat.
Yeah. The other guy's like, I look like James Dean. It's like, what is the point of these guys?
It's just ridiculous. I like cheese.
Exactly. We need to pad the runtime.
But she really didn't have to. I thought an hour 33 minutes was a bit too long.
Yeah, this definitely... Well, I
felt like there could have been some scenes eliminated to make it like an hour and 20 minutes.
Like the popos?
Yeah, the popos could have been left out. But yeah, I mean, you're not wrong. There's definitely some moments where it's like, yeah, they could have chopped that out. But it isn't a movie that takes, you know, takes much time to get going. Like, it's a pretty speedy flick.
Yeah. I mean, you know who the killer is, like... 5 minutes in. And also, going to a psychiatric hospital to get your ankle looked at, when all the doctor did was have her take her pantyhose off, he gave her a little, like, injection in her ankle and then felt her up.
And her panties. He took off her pantyhose and panties. We just didn't see it. It's a deleted scene.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. That's what he was doing with his hand going all the way up there.
Yeah.
It was like, he just kept getting higher and higher on her leg.
And he was really enjoying it, too. Like, I feel like he thought he was going to be in a different kind of movie.
Well, it's kind of like what we did Creature from the Black Lagoon, how they were using the set for two different films.
Yes.
He was an extra from the other film.
That they filmed in the psychiatric hospital.
If you want to just make it right down here, you can just drop me off at work so I'm ready for tomorrow.
Oh, there you go. Just going to sleep on the porch there?
Yeah. There is no porch, so I'll just sleep on the sidewalk.
Oh, okay.
Another filler scene was the fish. So we enter this, before they even get to the psychiatric hospital, because Betty, who lost her life with a pickaxe to the mouth, is like, oh, the hospital's only 5 minutes away. We'll sneak out and get your ankle looked at. Then we cut to the hospital, and we see the killer being wheeled in a gurney and then into his room, which is bars for the door instead of, like, you know, a proper door.
Right.
And then we cut to this nurse whose name was Sheila, I think.
It was indeed Sheila.
And she's, like, feeding this fish other little fish, and, like, she's making kissy faces at it through the tank.
And it's, like, a three-minute sequence.
Like, look at how quickly that, like, I was expecting, what's his name to start narrating from, like, Planet Earth? Sir John Attenborough. Look at the mighty fish.
The lionfish, as it did. What are those, like, little guppies or something? I don't even know what she was feeding them.
I don't know. Probably she was going to eat some later, too.
But she, yeah, the kissy faces were, that was distracting. It's like, why is she kissing the glass?
And then she's yelling at them, and then the doctor walks up, and he's like, oh, hey, ladies. And he sees what Final Girl is wearing. I don't even remember anybody's name.
I know, right?
Cindy Lauper, Sting.
Alicia, I think, isn't it?
Damned if I remember.
Alicia. But she's wearing, like, a little coochie cutter skirt. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, hey, ladies. I'm a doctor.
I'm gonna feel your leg. He was creepy. I think the best part, though, was the groundskeeper, the janitor guy, at the end of the movie.
Right between the eyes.
So just so you guys know, the guy that played Irving Wallace, his IMDb picture is a picture of him without a mask.
That's awesome.
And he's only played in two movies.
What's the other one?
11 Days.
11 Days in Stage Fright. Well,
11 Days, 11 Nights. And guess what his name is?
What's that?
Irving Wallace.
Is it really?
I could not make this up.
I wonder if it's like the making of Stage Fright or something.
No, it came out like... No, the storyline is totally different.
Okay.
That's just weird. But yeah, the groundskeeper, like...
I keep wanting you to call him Groundskeeper Willie.
I know. I can't think of the guy's name. I was like, I forget what they called him. But like, so he's berating Final Girl for not shooting the killer. He's like, that gun was loaded. You just forgot to put the safety off. Now, if you had to put a bullet in the chamber, you could have killed him. If I was there, I would have shot him right between the eyes. You just got to take the safety off. You know, then you could put a bullet in the chamber, and then you could shoot him right between the eyes. And he just kept repeating it.
And then he kept saying, the gun will shoot itself. You just had to take the safety off.
And all the while, it's just panning through the crowd of dead people.
As she's reliving the moment. Oh my God, but when she set him, when she set the killer on fire, and he was like wailing.
That was something out of Saw.
What an owl would sound like if it was on fire.
Have you ever seen an owl on fire?
No, but I'm assuming that's what it would sound like.
Okay. I mean, that's a pretty, I'll take that. I'll take that as an accurate hypothesis.
Oh my God. I'm pretty sure that Trey Parker watched this as a child and used that sound to use in South Park anytime someone gets hurt, because it was the
Yep.
It was a fantastic sound effect.
Oh my God. And when he sawed Sting in half for my next trick.
They just poked down there with the flashlight. Like, what's going on down there?
Also, what is it? This is the second movie, I want to say, that we're discussing where one of the characters is pregnant and then gets killed.
Yeah. It's like, what the hell?
Yeah, what's with, like, Kevin pregnant? Like, what was the purpose of her being pregnant?
Right.
It played no filler.
I think, honestly, it was just to be like, oh, how can we make this more shocking? I mean, because right off the bat, they start talking about rape. So it's like, all right, like, we're already dealing with shocking, you know, subjects just for shock value.
And this time, she's not going to get an abortion.
Yes. Right.
And then Sting kissed her after she was puking in the sink.
Oh, that was foul.
Oh, why are you puking in the sink?
And it was like, yeah, exactly. I hate it when that happens in movies. I'm like, who pukes in the sink? But it was all foamy. Like, she was just puking up foam.
Yeah.
And it's like a dog after he eats grass. Just like, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. Gross foam puke. And then he comes in. She barely wiped her mouth, and he plants one right on her.
Yep.
It's like, ooh.
That's love.
That's nasty.
I'm sorry. If I puke, I don't want Shane anywhere near me.
Right. I'm like,
I'm like brushing my teeth right after.
Mm-hmm. I love Jess to death, but I ain't kissing her, and she ain't kissing me after
puke
is
involved. I wish that guy would get in the fucking turning lane. God. Real fucking dick.
Real time, real fucking dick.
And when Cyndi Lauper got sawed in half, it just looked like a tube.
Yes, it
did. With, like, liverwurst coming out of it.
It was like one of those pool noodles.
Yes.
Oh my God, that was a fantastic scene.
And I love how, like, he sawed Sting in half, but then still put him together to sit on the sofa at the end, but he only took Cyndi Lauper's torso and planted it on the stage like she was sticking up from underneath.
Oh my God, this movie is fun.
Oh, it totally is.
The kills are what's worth watching this flick for.
Yes.
Because there are some phenomenal kills. I mean, most Italian horror movies, there's going to be some phenomenal kills. But, man, this one was fun.
And, like, when she was trying to get the key, when it was, like, wedged in. First of all, how did she see that key with all the feathers?
Right.
So
feathers everywhere.
Everywhere. That was a very pretty scene.
Right.
But then, so the killer is petting the pussy, and then does he, like, fall asleep?
Because
then the cat, like, jumps off of his lap.
The cat blew her in.
Yes, and then she's, like, crawling underneath the stage, thinks she's in the clear, and then, whoop, peekaboo.
I had to say peekaboo, like, 3 times out loud in this movie.
Yeah.
Say peekaboo. Oh, man. Definitely recommend this one being checked out. But, you know, Peter had mentioned Pieces when he was, you know, talking about this at the end of the movie. Now, have you guys seen Pieces?
I have not.
This is one, if we do get back to Italian horror, we got to put that on the list.
I feel like that one is on Shudder as well.
It is.
Okay, because it's in my queue. Because it was on one of those 80s horror documentaries that I've watched on Shudder.
Joe Bob covered it.
Okay.
And that's actually why I watched it, because I had never seen it before. And it ended up on The Last Drive-In. And I was like, oh, hey, let me you know, watch this now that I've always heard about this movie, never checked it out. It is absurd. Like, it's really friggin' funny, and I'm so mad that I missed it at Terrors, because I imagine with a crowd, that movie would have been a riot.
So the question is Stage Fright better than Pieces, in your opinion?
As a film, yes. Because Pieces is all over the place. It, no pun intended. It's like, what the fuck is happening throughout half of the movie?
So they were wrong to boo Peter then, huh?
I think so, yeah. I agreed with Peter on this that, I mean, I can see Pieces being a really fun event movie. But as far as, like, you know, watching it critically, yeah, Stage Fright has a beat.
And we weren't even watching Stage Fright critically, and look, we're getting a little mini episode out of this.
Right. And see, that, I just, I wish that we could go to more of these together, but scheduling is always difficult.
Yeah.
You know, but Terrors is a really fun event for anyone listening that's local. I know Mike is probably going to be listening to this, and he'll be joining us for Night of the Demons. I'm trying to think if he said he was coming to another one, but, you know, yeah, if you guys are listening, it's well worth your time. So I know, Dawn, I know you're listening, and I would recommend joining us. No, it's cheap.
It's only $7 or $7.50.
And it's a blast.
Yeah.
You know, it's, and we're all old. We go to the early show.
Yeah, we go to the 7:30. It is 10:09 right now.
Yeah.
Mike is still... This is Mike's afternoon.
Yep.
Maurice and I are...
It's past our bedtime.
It's past our night-night time.
You guys are ready for bed.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be cranky in the morning.
No, I'm afraid I'm not going to sleep because I got a medium Pepsi. And the last time Mike and I went and saw Maximum Overdrive at Terrors, I got a Pepsi and I could not fall asleep when I got home.
Well, the joys of getting older.
Like I told you guys before we started recording, I did kind of start dozing off towards the end, not because I didn't enjoy the movie, but because...
Just tired.
Night nights.
My bubblegum is so...
I'm glad you remember that.
I am what Mike calls a daywalker.
A damn dirty daywalker. You and your cursed day moon. So, Susie, do you want to tell the bubblegum story?
I will. So, friends, back in a previous life, when I was just a young Suze in college with a summer job, I used to work with a girl who was younger than I was, still in high school, and she lived with her grandma, didn't she?
Mm-hmm.
And when she was ready for bed, she would say, "Oh, my bubble gums are sore. It's time for my night nights." Meaning, if her nipples started hurting, it was time to go to sleep. And that was like a thing that her and her grandma said.
And that became a thing that we all said for many years, all hanging out. When it was getting a little late, we'd be like, "Oh, my bubble gums is sore.
I gotta go
for my night nights.
Gotta go home for my night
nipples hurting because it's past her bedtime."
I mean, hey, Niagara Falls.
Keep it classy,
right? I hope she went on to do really great things.
The other question, well, my next question was, is she single?
Well, I don't know. I haven't seen her in well over 20 years.
Maurice heard nipples, and he's like, "Wait a second. Restlessness?" Oh, man. Sore bubble gums.
It's weird to see everything closed.
I know, right?
Like, Papple.
Papple?
Papple.
Oh, yeah.
Papel. Not Papa Leo's, Papple.
But not Papel, the water. Papel.
The transportation center's open. The sign's on.
Timmy O's is open.
Timmy O's is always open. Well, the Dunkin' did not last.
No. Here's the Subway.
Well, I mean, it's
right. Can you guys guess where we're at right now?
From our random locations?
Oh my gosh. We should do a guessing game. Look, there's Goodman's.
Where is the Boogeyman's closet? Where in the world is the Boogeyman's closet?
Boogeyman's closet. Where are they? I don't know. Remember the cheerleader skit on Saturday Night Live?
Yep.
Bobby Fischer. Where is he? I don't know.
And this did exactly what I was expecting it to do.
Yep. My name is Sting. I got a thing. My girlfriend's dead. Our baby, too. Check me out.
Oh, no.
There's my old work.
Ah. nothing else, yes. This road's kind of creepy at night.
Yep.
I never drive this way. I always take the thruway.
I'm disappointed in my little rap. That was not my best work, guys. It's because I'm tired.
Well, to be fair, it's also completely impromptu while we're driving.
That's true.
You know, so.
There's the John Deere store.
I know I'm not talking as much as normal, but I'm also like, you know, pay attention to the road, Mike. Pay attention to the road. I'm also driving my wife's car, which I'm not used to.
It's a nice ride.
It is. Because my air conditioner decided to break in my car. And it's still hot out.
Yeah, because we have second summer.
Yeah,
exactly. Are we really in second summer, though? I say that autumn starts at Labor Day and when football starts.
Fall doesn't start, it doesn't start until next Monday.
Yeah, I was going to say,
even though it's supposed to be in the high 80s.
Ugh.
Because it's Wednesday.
Gross.
So the first 3 days of fall are going to be summer-like conditions.
Yeah.
But
I feel like, and this is probably rose-tinted glasses, but I feel like when we were kids, it started getting more like fall-like conditions around September, and it lasted into like late November. I remember it not really snowing a lot until December back then.
I remember wearing a snowsuit on Halloween.
But of course, global warming is a lot worse now.
Well, true.
No, stop with your fake news and science shit. God.
All right, I'll stop.
Science need not apply, damn it. No, I do remember a couple of Halloweens that it snowed, but I was a little older. I was like, you know, like 11, 12.
Yeah, now it seems like every Halloween is at least 50.
Last Halloween was ridiculous. It was warm.
Yeah.
And the Halloween before it was like a friggin' monsoon.
Oh, I remember that. The pouring rain.
I can't complain because, you know, the kiddos have a better time when, and they stay out longer when it's warmer.
Oh, yeah. No,
Do they? I thought trick-or-treating got cut off at, like, 7 o'clock.
Oh, yeah, but, you know, how many kids are like, okay, it's cold, I'm going, you know, or the parents are like, it's too cold.
Yeah. That's one thing I do like about my neighborhood is the trick-or-treating is really cool. Like, there's a lot of people that participate. There's a lot of people out on their porches. It's a fun time to go trick-or-treating with Caleb. But,
turn around, I want to steal those skeletons.
All those giant ones? I know, I see those every day when I'm picking up Caleb from school. It's like, those things are awesome.
Someone around the corner from Mike has this killer Halloween setup, and there are these two gigantic skeletons with glowing eyes.
Yep.
I want them.
Actually, like, you guys are going to see this more often now, like, that we're doing the podcast in person again. If you come down my street from this direction here, you'll see a lot of people dolling up their houses for Halloween. And there's some nice decorations. Like, there's not many that have started already, but there's a few houses that get really into it, and it's awesome. They do the same thing for Christmas, but that's one thing I really do like about this neighborhood is they really get into the holidays. Of course, you have the one or two people that have the sign on their door that, we don't believe in Halloween, no candy.
Halloween's for the devil.
It's the devil.
I remember, I think it was 2 years ago. I feel like Kaylin and London surprised us on Halloween because they went trick-or-treating in, like, Lewiston. And we didn't have candy, so I think I gave them granola bars.
That's one thing that would be really fun to talk about, maybe a little closer to Halloween for a Patreon special, is just, like, favorite Halloween treats.
Candy. Anything with nuts. I want to put the nuts in my mouth.
I went full Buttley on that one. Oh, man. I always used to get excited when they would do, like, the lunchroom-sized bags of chips.
Mm-hmm.
I used to love those. There was one house that was right near me growing up that he always had those, the pretzels and little bags of Doritos. It was awesome. But, all right, guys, this impromptu episode has come to an end because we are now back at my house. So
back in Niagara Falls.
We're going to cut it off here. Hopefully you guys enjoyed this weird little jaunt. But, all right, as always, this is Mike saying goodbye.
See ya.
My bubble gum's sore.
Off the top of my bed nuts. Thanks for listening. If
If you enjoyed what you heard, follow us on Instagram at The Boogeyman's Closet, where you can stay up to date with everything we have planned.